This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm Chris Weigel in the studio for Dr. Linda Mental. Thanks for joining us today on the Faith Radio Network. It's great to have you along again this week. Dr. Linda is a licensed marriage and family therapist and a best-selling author. She specializes in bringing a common sense and faith perspective to issues of everyday life. You can learn all about Dr. Linda Mental and her latest book, We Need to Talk, at drlindahelps.com, or look for Dr. Linda, author and speaker, on Facebook. You can follow Dr. Linda on Twitter, at Dr. Linda Helps. Some time ago, Dr. Linda sat down with author, speaker, and radio host Kay Arthur to discuss the issue of sexual purity and the importance of the Holy Spirit in this battle that affects so many Christians. The conversation took place on the exhibition floor of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, how many people do you know who fit one of these descriptions? Missionary? Author? Award-winning, by the way, of over 100 books, ministry founder, Bible teacher extraordinaire, wife, mother, grandmother. This introduction of my dear friend Kay Arthur could go on, and it would be accurate and relevant to our conversation today, but it's highly likely that you already know Kay and her Precepts Ministry from Chattanooga, Tennessee. So let's just get right to it, because Kay is so well known. It's hard. We're here on the floor of the National Religious Broadcasters. We're coming at you here, and it's hard to even get Kay to the booth because everybody stops her and greets her and loves her, and we're just so thankful for the way that she has poured her heart out in the Precepts Ministries, has helped so many people implant the Word of God into their lives. And Kay, I'm so thrilled that you took a few minutes of your busy time here at the National Religious Broadcasters to talk with me on this new show.
Linda, I have missed you. I just felt like just the time that we had together and having dinner and Norm and Russ and Kathy, that God just bonded my heart to you. I just love you and what God's doing and how he's used you. And so I'm just honored to be able to be on this program and to share whatever God leads us to share. Because I know he's going to minister to people.
Yes, and you know, when you spoke to those 10,000 kids, and I'm calling them kids, but they're young adults,
yeah,
they were so changed by the message that you gave and challenged. And one of the things that they were amazed by was that you were so transparent and so candid about your background, particularly yeah, in the area of sexual purity. So yeah, what is it that you said to those students that made them think again about what their choices are and what they need to do?
Well, I think basically what I shared with them was that I had been immoral, you know, and that no one taught me that as a man or woman thinks in his heart, so they are, and keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so I determined that, and I was not a Christian, but I was religious. I went to church. I thought I was a Christian. Didn't have the slightest idea that it was a relationship. But what I had determined was that when I walked the aisle, I was going to be a virgin. Physically, I was. Mentally, I was a harlot. And, you know, and then finding out later that as you think, so you are, and that it all begins in the mind. But my goal was to be sexy. I watched the movies, and what we watch has a great influence on us, as we know with these people that are trapped in pornography. So I was a virgin, but when my marriage didn't work out, I shook my fist in the face of God, because it was all about being loved. And I would later discover it in Ephesians, you know, that blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And this is the hooker: just as he chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. And so on July 16th, I came to know the Lord and I was set free. But by then, I had been married. I had been divorced. I had been immoral. I had had an affair with a married man for 2 years, and I didn't know that his wife was pregnant with their sixth child when I met him. I didn't even know he was married. You know, but sin takes you farther than you ever wanted to go. It keeps you longer than you ever intended to stay, and it costs you far, far more than you'd ever expect to pay, and that's what happened with me. So I told him that, but then God had burdened my heart to be very honest with them, because you know, you can go to a Christian school and you can call yourself a Christian and you can still be horsing around sexually. You know, and you may say, like President Clinton did, you know, I did not have sex with her, but, and they don't understand, you know, that what you're doing with your hands, what you're doing with your eyes, what you're doing with your body, even if it's short of the actual act of sexual intercourse, it is still sin. Mm-hmm. And so I used the verse in Corinthians, and it's also in Ephesians, and then it comes out again in Galatians, and it's just, don't be deceived. Fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals have no inheritance, and it goes on and talks about other sins, but we're talking about sexual sins, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. And so people are deceived, and if they're sleeping around, they're being immoral, and there's no conviction, I would say check yourself out at the door and find out if you really, really are born again. And especially if you say, I have no power to resist. Because when we become a child of God, the Spirit of God moves in. Yeah. There is power where the Spirit of God is. That was a long answer.
Well, why do you think, no, it was a good answer? And I remember you very powerfully turned around and said that thing about you are not born again if you are acting this way.
You're not his disciple.
And they just sat there in silence when you said that. Why do you think so many people are deceived in this area? Because if you, honestly, Kay, if you have a conversation with somebody today about, if you're thinking lustfully about that person, you have sinned, they're just looking at you like you're from another planet.
Exactly. And I think it's because, first of all, we don't have a worldview that comes through the lens of God's Word.
And what happened in the church? Because that's been your whole ministry.
Yeah.
So why has the church not picked up on that and really...
Because we're lazy. Mm. Because we're not serious about God. Because we think that we can go to heaven without being a true disciple. Mm. And you know what? I got so excited the other day. I'm teaching a course on Acts. I wrote an inductive study course on the book of Acts. And I was reading in Acts chapter 6, and there is a verse that nails the fact that discipleship is synonymous with salvation. Mm. And see, there's a controversy about that. But Jesus made it very, very clear that if you're going to come after me and you're not willing to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. I was shocked at the way I ended that convocation message, because I turned around. I said, you're not his disciple.
I know. And they were completely silent, like, whoa.
Yeah. And no ending prayer or anything. And I went and sat down. I turned my back to him and went and sat down. And later, when they gave the standing ovation, I was amazed that they didn't stone me instead. You know, we've got to tell them the truth.
Right.
You know, and we cannot be ashamed. We've got to tell them in love, but we've got to love them enough to tell them too. And I think that the culture, we are so culturized, you know, and the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 12, you know, in Romans chapter 1 through 11, he lays out the whole gospel, and he lays out the fact that we are sinners, that we are saved, that we are sanctified, and then it's all by God's sovereignty, and explains the Jews and the Gentiles, and then it says, from him, through him, and to him are all things, to him be the glory forever and ever. And then it says, I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. The world has squeezed the Church of Jesus Christ into the mold.
So what do you say to a young person or an older person, for that matter, who says, okay, I get all that, but I don't seem like I have the power within me to withstand or withhold or overcome those type of temptations or the think that is all around me? What is the key for that?
I think the key is either education of what God says, but also if the Spirit of God is inside of me. It says when the Spirit comes, and he's talking about, it's in the context in John, I'm going away. I'm not going to leave you without a helper. I'm going to send a helper to you. He's going to be in you. The Father and I and the Spirit are going to abide in you. And then he goes on and he says, when the Spirit comes, John 16, he will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. Of judgment, because the prince of this world has been cast out. Okay, now, if I am a true believer, I have believed in Jesus Christ. If I am a true believer, I'm righteous. I have received forgiveness of sins, and I have been declared righteous, but I have also been given the Holy Spirit, who leads me and guides me into righteousness. Also, I am no longer under the power of Satan. And Hebrews 2 brings that out. You know, that Jesus became a man. He tasted death for every man so that you and I might be set free from Satan's power. What gives Satan power is sin. And so if I've been set free, I have the power to say no to sin. And Galatians 5 makes it very clear. He says, if we walk by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I stand up there and demonstrate it. But you cannot put yourself in neutral.
Right.
You know, you either shift the gear into the power of the Spirit. But if you're neutral, if I walk by the Spirit, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh, so that you cannot do the things that you are. Now, I've got to tell you honestly, I've been tempted. After I got saved as a missionary, I was in Israel, and I had an ear infection. I had to have it lanced. This is years ago. You know, I'm 80 now, but I had to have...
Which, by the way, they could not believe.
Thank you. And I don't feel it, you know,
yeah,
and I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, an Arab guy picked me up. And we were coming out of the hotel, and he was going to take me to get my ear lanced because I had a cyst, and I was going to get on a plane, and I couldn't do that. We were coming out of the hotel. Three Arab men that knew him were going into the hotel. They said something to him in Arabic. All I can say in Arabic is shukran, you know, shukran, which is thank you.
Yeah.
You know, and but I knew that they had made an innuendo.
Mm-hmm.
I get in the car. He gets in. Then he puts his arm on the back of the seat and looks at me and says, those guys were kidding me about being out with you. So at that moment, there's the invitation.
Mm-hmm.
My flesh rose up. And all I wanted to do was flirt with the man.
Mm-hmm.
The flesh versus the Spirit. You know, so I had to drive it into spirit mode because I thought this man needs Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't witness to a man when you're flirting with him.
Yeah.
You know, and the Lord just, I wrestled with that. Well, I shared with him. He looked at me when I finished and he said, I have been to Israel with top leaders. No one has ever explained the gospel to me like you have.
Well, I'm just thinking when you're saying it now and the way you're talking about it, I wish I could take you and I could clone you into every Sunday school class of every teenager that I know, because I don't know if the gospel has been presented that clearly. It's so, when you're taking those scriptures and you present it, it is so clear. I don't want to say what the formula is, but there is a prescription. God is very prescriptive. He doesn't say do something and then say, oh, I'm not going to give you a way to do that.
Exactly.
He lays it out in the scripture how
to
do it. So I hear people come up to you all the time. how do I resist sexual temptation? I'm thinking, well, it's right there in the scripture. And even though I'm a psychologist, I don't have to do a lot of psychology. I just say, here's what the scripture says.
Yeah.
And you lead them through that whole thing that you just did. But I don't know why that is so missing in the church today. Are we afraid to talk about it?
I think we are. I wrote a book. It's called The Truth About Sex. I expected it to really start a sexual revolution here in the United States. That's what I expected, because it's all Bible. It's got great illustrations, and you mark the text and you see for yourself. Do you know where it's being used? It's being used like in Ukraine. There are 100,000 students in the Ukraine that are doing that study.
Wow.
You know, or that have done that study.
Yeah.
So, and it's been translated into Romanian and Korean, and it's been used mightily there. Not here.
You know,
because we have a plethora of books on sex, but this one's different because it's Bible.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And the others are more from the psychological, you know, like you're saying. I want to go back and finish my story if I can.
Yeah.
And when I was... So after I left this man, I mean, he took me, got my ear fixed and that. I met our group in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we were in there, and I began to teach about Jesus and how he asked the Father three times to take this cup from me. And how he had said to them, will you not watch and pray with me for 1 hour? And then, and how he was sweating great drops of blood. And he said, watch and pray with me, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And all of a sudden, I started to cry. And I had a hard time getting my composure, because for the first time, Linda, this is what I understood, how much Jesus understood.
Mm.
Because he said, watch and pray, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And he was saying, if it's possible, take this cup. And all of a sudden, I knew that Jesus understood the temptation of my flesh. You know, he was tempted, Hebrews says, in all points as we are, yet without sin.
Right.
And so, you know, I had somebody, so to speak, in my corner. You know, really, I had him inside in the Holy Spirit. But I really, it was just wonderful. There's not anything, y'all, are you listening? There's not any temptation that has taken you. And that temptation can be, that word periosmos can be translated temptation, trial, or testing. That's overtaken you, but such as is common to man. Mm-hmm. Hey, honey, this isn't the first time. You know,
right,
that this has ever happened. That is common to man. But God is faithful. And he, the sovereign ruler of the universe, will not permit you to be tried or tested or tempted above what you're able to bear. But with that trial, that testing, that temptation, he will make a way of escape. And so there's no way as a Christian that I could not handle that temptation. And I want to tell y'all, there's no way, if you are a true child of God, that you have to yield to anything that God calls a sin.
Mm.
And so...
That's a bold statement.
That is a bold statement. And you know, I understand, because I do a lot of reading on the brain and that. But we know now, because we're able to, image the brain, we're able to do all these things and test like we've never been able to test before. It's Daniel 12, knowledge is increased and that. But the thing that we know is that the brain gets its kicks. So when you try something and the brain gets its thrill, then the brain says, hey, let's do it again.
Right.
You know, and so when you do that, and that's why the Bible warns us about habitual sin.
Right, right.
It's not saying occasional, it's saying habitual, because it becomes, sin is addictive. Whosoever commits sin becomes the slave of sin. So all I want to say to you is, if there is no guilt, if there is guilt without power to say no, then you don't have the Spirit of God within you. And if you don't have the Spirit of God within you, you're none of His. So I don't care if it's pornography. I don't care where it, what it is. There's a book I read, and it's called Pastor Sy, H-S-I. This guy is from China. He is a brilliant, brilliant man, an incredible writer. And what happens is he gets addicted. He has pain, and they tell him to take opium. I did not know that oxycodone and OxyContin is opium. No. I did not know that.
Yeah.
So they said, you can quit. You're such a strong man. So he takes it. He becomes addicted. Mm-hmm. He comes to know Jesus Christ. And I won't go into the story, but it's fabulous. He comes to know Jesus Christ. He's got this addiction to opium. There's a longing, you know, mm-hmm. his brain is telling him. He knows he can't. Because, see, the Spirit convicts us of sin, you know. And so he knows that he can't. He locks himself in a room, and he says, no matter what I say, you keep the door locked. He wrestles for, I guess, 2 or 3 days. You know, he goes through all the withdrawal and that, but he comes out a victor. And then his ministry is helping others come free from opium, but only through Jesus Christ.
That's great.
You know, and it's the same way for sex. It's the same way for pornography. It's the same way for any kind of perversion and that. And there are people that have a homosexual tendency or attraction, and yet they're not living a homosexual lifestyle because they know that it's a sin. And see, if I, you know, I love it. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed, and it's free from sin.
Well, no one can ever accuse you of waffling on these things. That's what I love about it. And you know what is so interesting? I was talking to somebody the other day who said that he did a study on 500 Christian radio songs mm-hmm. or stations or something. It was some big study that he just kind of did informally. And during that whole time he looked at it, not one person said one word about sin. And I was looking at, I did a little review of some research about pastors. Yep. And sin is one of the things that they don't talk about in the church anymore. We talk about it as an addiction or an overriding yeah. or a disease or something. But we're so reluctant in our culture to call anything that is a sin, because it makes people uncomfortable.
Exactly. But see, the thing that I share with them, and there's, you know, there's one preacher that's one of the most popular ones in the United States. And he'll hold up the Bible and he'll say, this is our book. But he doesn't want to talk about sin. Mm-hmm. Christ Jesus, this is a worthy statement, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Sinners. And if we, he says in Isaiah, woe be to him who calls evil good and good evil. It is the issue of fornication, adultery, every kind of sex except where it says in Hebrews that marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And so woe be unto those that call evil good and good evil, that exchange light for darkness. And that's what our culture has done.
But Kay, you're so outdated when you say that. That's what people say. People will say to you constantly, but that's not for today.
See, I'm not outdated, and I know I'm not outdated. I'm biblical, and I'm smart enough to know that I'm a woman and or a man, a human being, and he's God, and he's sovereign, and he's in charge, and he created me, and he has numbered my days, and he has told me that this is sin. To him that knows to do good and does it not, it is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Sin is transgression. Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way, and God has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So what is sin? It's me walking my own way. What's most of the church doing? I mean, the collective church, I'm not talking about genuine Christianity. They're living in sin.
Yeah.
So the thing is, we are so far away from the Bible. And you know, we're trying to build churches. We're trying to make them acceptable. We will make a Christian movie, and we won't make it accurate to the Word of God because we think, I've got to reach the world. Well, for heaven's sakes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And watch, it's not the Word of God there. It's the Word of Christ. The text says the Word of Christ. So what's the message of Christ? The message of Christ is that Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us, that we might have the righteousness of God in him. The gospel's laid out in 1 Corinthians 15. And in that definition of the gospel, it says, by which we are saved, by which we stand, etc., if we hold fast the word. So if I claim to be a Christian and then I let go of it and turn away, I never was a Christian. It's not that I lost my salvation, it's that I never had it. You know, and so what we have to understand is the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. It was a genuine death. He was raised again on the third day. He was seen by many. He was seen by 500. He was seen by these. He was seen by those. And Paul says, and last of all, he was seen by me. You know, and so what we have to understand is if you remove sin from the equation, you don't need a Savior.
Great. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for being a pioneer in this area. Thank you for the Precepts Ministry that have helped so many people all over the world. We love you dearly. We thank you so much, Kay.
Dr. Linda Mental with author, speaker, and radio host Kay Arthur. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. To learn more about Dr. Linda, check out her website, drlindahelps.com. Follow Dr. Linda on Twitter, at Dr. Linda Helps, and on Facebook, Dr. Linda, author and speaker. This is Chris Weigel. Thanks for being with us today, and be sure to join us again next week right here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Do we lie?
Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WWMC Radio, Lynchburg, Virginia.